coming to you live from the top secret broadcasting bunker here at Area 52. That's right in the heart of the frozen tundra of eastern Siberia. Good to be with you today. Thank you for all the emails. Thank you for all the emails that you sent while I was gone. I didn't get a chance to read very many of them at all. Was too busy. Either en route, which means I have no internet access, or just the very sparse time I was in not the regular 8 motel in Harrison, Arkansas, but the super one. The Super 8 motel is where we were staying, and didn't get a chance to read everybody's email there either. Spent all day Friday. Once we got into Harrison Thursday, we went to church, fellowshiped with everybody, and then all day Friday listening to preaching from 9 o'clock in the morning until 9 o'clock at night. And good preaching it was. A little bit of laughter there. It's good. It's good to just have a good time in the Lord, and a little bit of crying as well, and a little bit of praying. Some really, really, really good music that was out there, a group called Southern Raised, three sisters and a bro, that good family. And they all play bluegrass music, but they were classically trained. And it was just a joy to fellowship with them once again. We are trying to get them at our church on a Sunday morning. We had tried to arrange May 20th, but it wasn't going to work for them. And so we are going to try again at getting them at our church. It'll be a Sunday morning. We'll broadcast it. Everybody can watch it. You can buy their CDs or whatever it is. And we're just looking forward to having a good time. We would have been in revival this week with Pastor Reg Kelly. And I goofed. And in the initial conversation to talk to him about coming out, we had mentioned this week as a date, and I was supposed to go back and verify that for him, and I never did. And so Saturday night when I came home, I gave him a call, and I said, all right, are you ready? And he said, so it was just a goof on my part. We have moved that. Get your calendars out now. Get ready. We have moved the date of our revival services. I call it revival. I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know what God's going to lead him to do, how he's going to preach or teach or whatever. But it will be May 7th, 8th, and 9th, and every service will be at 7 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. And we will broadcast those services live as they are happening. Pastor Reg is a good friend of mine, and he's got a good church down in southern. I mean, this is farm territory. These are farm people. There's not a city slicker in the whole bunch of them. And that's who he pastors down there. Interesting thing about Pastor Reg's church down there, since there's a lot of farms, there is a lot of Mennonite communities. And a few Amish, there's a little bit of a difference between them. You can sort of consider Mennonites as liberal Amish. Okay? They'll actually roll their sleeves up. Anyway, not meaning to make fun of them. Their lifestyle is their business, and you know, probably wouldn't do us any harm to get back to good hard work and not having cell phones everywhere and TVs on and stuff like that. But one of the things that he has found out being in that community, just because you're a Mennonite or Amish, that does not make you saved. And he said, in fact, one of the problems that they have in those communities is that they have a bishop that rules over them. Their bishop rules over the whole community. And if you are found in violation of the rules of the community and do not repent, they'll put you out. And in their terminology, when they put you out, you're out. You are not in. You're out. You're out of salvation. And the situation is that bishop will tell you whether or not you're saved. Now, I know of another religion whose bishops can tell you whether or not you're saved. I have a problem with that. I can't tell anybody that they're saved. That's not my job. My job is to shepherd the sheep. It's to enlighten them with the word. It's to stir up the word of God in their hearts. But it's not my job to say, okay, you're saved and you're not. That's not my job. But he has, last time I was down there, which was several years ago, he had a family in that church that the lady still wore the head covering and everything like that. They still maintain their tradition, their values and their lifestyle and everything like that. It's just that the husband started just reading the Bible and he went, wait a minute. I think it says here that we're saved by grace through faith and not of works. And God began to deal with his heart, and he got saved. He had been a Mennonite all of his life, and he got saved. And he went and told some people, and they put him out. They put him out of the community. They said, you get out, you're not one of us. And in their eyes, he's not saved. But I'm glad that it's not in man's eyes on who's saved. I'm glad man doesn't make that choice, make that decision. If you call me or write me or ask me somehow, some way, Pastor Mike, do you think so-and-so is saved? I don't know. I can tell you the fruits of a false prophet and the signs of the false prophet. And one of the things that the Bible mentions about false prophets is that they are twice dead. That sounds like they're not saved and they're not ever going to be saved when you're twice dead. When you're twice dead, you're just automatically just ready to be thrown right into the lake of fire. And so anyway, but he'll be coming. Pastor Reg will be coming to us. Let me find that date again. May 7th, 8th, and 9th, Monday, Tuesday, and a Woden's Day. Woden's Day. That's interesting. I actually have my buddy Mike from Canada, and I tease the Canadians. I guess maybe the Canadians tease us, but I tease the Canadians on sort of how they talk. That goes back to when I was a teenager and I was watching a comedy program called SCTV, and it featured a lot of Canadian artists, Rick Moranis and I can't remember all the names, but there was two characters on there named Bob and Doug McKenzie from the Great White North. And they said, how's it going, eh? And they talk like this, eh? And I kind of got that in my mind when I went to New Brunswick, Canada, back in the 80s on a college trip. I met some people that said, how's it going, eh? I mean, they really talk like that. And then Mike, my friend from Canada, he calls every now and then and always cheers me up. And he talks just like this, eh? And he said, how's it going, Mike? And we have a good conversation. Anyway, Mike sent me this, speaking of Woden's Day. But I don't know if you know that. The days of the week are named after gods. Okay? You have the sun god on Sunday. You have the, and this is where the Seventh-day Adventists really just, they just like to leap all over everybody. You see, you go to church on Sunday. That's the day of the sun worship, you little pagan. And so Sunday and Moon Day, and I forgot what Tuesday was. It's some god. Wednesday is Woden's Day. And Thor's Day is the next day after that. And Freese Day. And then you have the day of Saturn, the god of whatever. Saturn is Satan, by the way. That's Saturday. That's the seventh day. And so the argument that I'm a pagan because I go to church on Sunday and I worship the sun god should also apply to those who go to on Saturn's day as well. But anyway, I got way too much to talk about today to be chasing too many rabbits. And you guys are writing in emails already, I can see. And I appreciate it, by the way. I did on the Pastor Mike Online emails. I went backwards and kind of looked at some, and I've got some in the queue that if we get a chance to, we'll deal with today. But here is what Mike, my buddy in Canada, sent me. He said, you have got to take a look at this. Now, let me set this up for you. This falls under the category of technology, mark of the beast, tracking systems, the whole technology thing, able to track everybody. There was a thing come out, I think it was last week sometime, from Japan. that they have. I made note of it. I probably won't be able to find it very quickly, or I'd read it to you. Now I closed out my note, my Evernote thing. But anyway, it was a computer thing in Japan that had the ability of reading, I don't know how many millions of human faces in a second. Okay, you know, he's got these cameras, you know, like this one right here. Got this camera here. Got cameras everywhere. And facial recognition software has developed so rapidly over the years that now they have the ability, as soon as you pass by a camera, the computer goes, that's Mike Hoggard. Hey, you know how we recognize people just like that. Hey, I know you. Computers are now having the capability of doing that. And you stop and think about the idea of when you buy something at the store and you don't, and they say, can we please have your telephone number or your email address? You say, no way, because you're going to use this to attach this transaction with my personal data, and you'll know that I bought this, and you're going to put this in a database somewhere. So forget you. I'm not giving you anything like that. And they said, well, oh, that's okay. We got a picture of you now, and we've got that in the database, and should you ever do some kind of transaction that where you have to identify yourself, we will know exactly who you are. And every place you go in the world with a camera hooked up to a network system will be able to know exactly who you are, where you were, everything. And so here is one of the companies that's involved in that. It's called Odin. Think about that. Odin. Do you know who Odin is? Odin is the Norse Antichrist. That's who Odin is. Odin is he's the god that died, and he comes from the north. Think about that. And he's the god that died, and he's going to be resurrected again. That's who Odin is. And so Odin, the company, has a software, the most trusted RFID software, radio frequency identification. Think about it. Software. And they have a software called I Am. I wonder who that is named after. That's the Odin I Am software. Are you getting sort of an idea now of what spirit is running the show nowadays? Are you getting sort of an idea of what spirit that is collecting everybody's information and tracking everything so that no man might buy or sell save he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name? By the way, let me pull that back up again. I remember what I was going to talk about. The name Odin. And this goes back to reason 475,912, why I don't think you ought to let your kids read Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings, let's see here, J.R.R. Tolkien wrote that, and he ransacked Norse mythology, Nordic mythology, Odin and the Nine Ring Lords. That's also in Lord of the Rings. That's what the Lord of the Rings is all about, the Nine Ring Wraiths. I read it, okay? And if you look at the names that are in the Lord of the Rings and you study Norse mythology, you will find a very, very peculiar similarity to all of that, including a character by the name of Theoden. Theoden, T-H-E-O-D-I-N. What does that mean? It's a combination of the Greek word theos and the god Odin, Theoden, okay? And then you have Gandalf the Grey, and he's the, I mean, all the whole thing. Don't get into the Lord of the Rings. What else do I have for you today? Check this out. You've got to see this. This is our buddy Perry Stone again. Back at you, okay? And you know what? When time is running out. If you want to go see Perry Stone at his conference, then time is running out, and somebody who is on Perry Stone's mailing address. By the way, I told you, when I did the teaching on the false prophecies of Perry Stone, I mentioned his thing called The Meal That Heals. And it was about taking the Eucharist every day, eating the cookie and drinking the wine every day so that you could have a lot of money. It was all about witchcraft. And I have gotten a lot of good emails on that. I've had people write me and they said, we followed everything Perry Stone said. We thought he was great. We thought he was a genius and all this and that and the other. And now we saw this and we're going, that's all we need to see. There are people out there. Listen, there are people still out there with brains and they still have discernment. They still believe the Bible. And it's easy to follow people. You look at Perry Stone. He has sort of a charismatic, and I mean that in the way his affect is, the way he exhibits himself. He's a good speaker. He can get a crowd excited. He can do all those things like that. He is knowledgeable. The problem is he's not sticking with Scripture. And so you could watch this guy and go, wow, you know, that's good information. Oh, boy, you know. And then you find out that his dad's a necromancer. And you find out that his teachings don't line up with Scripture. When you compare Scripture with Perry Stone, they don't match up. There's something not right. And I got a really good letter from some people last week that said that they followed everything Perry Stone did, cleaning, sending him money, and they watched it and they said, forget it, we're done. We're not going for this anymore. And I appreciate that. There's still some people out there that want to know the truth. This is the reason why we're here. And by the way, I'm going to say this. I'm going to warn you. I'm going to warn you about a guy named Mike Hoggard. Let God be true and every man a liar. I also have... Excuse me, I get a little choked up when I talk about myself. I also have a charismatic, well, whatever, I'm not charismatic. Don't say that I am. I can get in front of this camera and this microphone and I can act like a goof or I can do any, that's easy for me. I can speak publicly. I have a voice, I have a talent, I have a personality, I have a sense of humor. I have all of these things. That doesn't mean that I'm going to be right in everything that I say. That doesn't mean that. When I went to Kenya last year, I said, please be careful of American pastors coming over here trying to tell you what God said, including Mike Hoggard. You go to the Scriptures. When I left Kenya, I left Bibles. I left the idea that the Bible's right 100% of the time. And so if I say something and it does not match up with the King James Bible, now don't read me your original Hebrew. Don't read me, don't try to retranslate it to make it fit what you say. But if I say something that does not match up 100% with the testimony of the King James Bible, then I'm wrong and the Bible's right. It's as simple as that. Anyway, I am working on something. That it started out as a conversation on Facebook on Sunday night with a guy that I commented on people that will listen. I commented on people that they still have some discernment. They still have a brain. They still go to the Scriptures and say, wait a minute, the Scripture's not right. And not everybody knows every Scripture. And it takes preachers to enlighten us to His Word or draw us to His Word. Or stir up. That's what Peter talked about. He said, I'm going to stir up your remembrance of things. And then when you just lay Scripture out and people begin to compare Scripture with what somebody said or what somebody's doing, they go, wait a minute, the Scripture's right and this guy's wrong. But I found myself in a conversation that I could not pass up right before the Sunday evening service. And it was about, he had made a statement about I won't even tell you what it was about, but I will tell you what it was about. It was about the giants and the sons of God and the daughters of men. And he was basically saying anybody who believed that's Roman Catholic. You're a cult. There's something around you, pagan. And I was responding I wasn't going after the guy. I was just trying to get him to see Scripture. And he would make statements. Well, everybody knows the sons of God's the Seth people. Everybody knows that. And I said, give me your Scripture. And he said, well, you know that a majority of the Christians believe that it's Seth. And I said, a majority of Christians is not authoritative in my life. Neither is a minority of Christians authoritative in my life. Gary downstairs is not an authority. I'm not an authority over him. The Word of God, the King James Bible, is always right. And I pleaded with him to give me scriptures for what he was saying. And he refused to do it. That's because he didn't have any. And so I went to bed with that on my mind Sunday night. And I got up Monday morning and I came in here and I said, everybody leave me alone now for a long time. I have pages of notes here that I've been putting together. I've been putting together probably one of the biggest teachings that I think I've done. It's already two DVDs. It's already two Watchmen broadcasts. They'll be back to back. I have the script for the first one nearly done, and I've already started on the script for the second one, and we'll just see where it goes. It's at least two. It might be three, but I think I can do it in two. And it's going to be on the Giants, okay? And I bring this up because I want you to pray for me, and I want you to pray that God will give me ease, that God will lead me into what to say. And there's some interesting things that are in the Bible. When you just start studying Giants, I mean, just stuff just pops out. It's all Scripture, people. It's all in the Scriptures what it is. And but anyway, back to Perry Stone. Perry Stone, you know, let me show you the graphic. Let me show you the email that he sent out. Dear Mike, now that Mike is not me. It's another Mike. There are more than one people in the world named Mike. This is concerning his 2012 Prophetic Summit, Perry Stone, April 26th through April 29th. You just have just a few weeks if you're going to go to that. Christian greetings, he says. We want to share information about the upcoming Prophetic Summit to be held in Cleveland, Tennessee at the T.L. Lowry Global Foundation Ministry Center, scheduled to begin on Thursday, April the 26th, and continue through Sun God Day, April 29th. Now, I want you to pay attention here, okay? In fact, I'm going to remove the email graphic. By the way, if you want to get in touch with me during this live broadcast, there's an email, and it's going away now. Look at what he says. He says, at this conference, Perry will be releasing special inside information that will not be taught on the manifest telecast. Ooh, the inside information. Ooh, the secrets, the real stuff. Also, there will be a major election alert along with a special teaching on all. Here it is. Look at this. Along with a special teaching on your money, your investments, and your financial security in the end times, who in here besides me can see right through that one? Okay? Let me pull this up again, and I'm just going to read it. I'm going to read it again. I want you to listen now to what he's saying here. This is the flyer that goes out. At this conference, Perry will be releasing special inside information that will not be taught on the manifest telecast. Do you know what that is? That is Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And yes, Dee, it is about your money. Okay? Let me pull up the website here. I won't be able to show it on the screen, but let me pull up the website here. 2012 Prophetic Summit. Special inside information. That was, you know, and to me, that is just, that's a joke. And it's offensive. It is offensive to me. And it should be offensive to everybody. That here you are, somebody who is wanting to follow God, somebody who's wanting the teachings of Jesus Christ, and Perry Stone has them. And if you can't afford to get to the meeting and buy the hotel room and come to the meeting, and I'm looking here to see if, okay, there is no cost or registration required to attend. okay? But if you can't afford to go to the meeting, if you can't afford the hotel room, if you can't afford to be there, then it stinks to be you. How dare you? How dare you be saved and not have any money? How dare you? And so what he's basically saying is only the people who can afford to go, can take the days off from work, can afford to go to this conference. Only the people who can afford to do that are going to get the top secret insider information that nobody else is going to know about. See, and I want you to get this. He'll put information on his television show, which doesn't cost anybody to watch. Okay? You can watch his show for free. Now, he'll give you highlights of some new book he's got, like The Meal That Heals or whatever. But he won't tell you everything. He wants to sell you the book, wants to sell you the video or the teaching or whatever. And he's doing the same thing here. And when it comes up here that he's got insider information and he's got a special teaching on your money, your investments, and your financial security at the end times, I can tell you that if Perry Stone follows the TBN paradigm, the Trinity Broadcasting Network paradigm, if he follows their formula, then the teaching that he has about your money is that it's fixing to not be your money here pretty soon. Okay? They all talk about you with your money. If you want financial success, then sow your money into me. Hand it over, and God will make you heal. You know what? And if you just follow the teachings of the TBN crowd, they are full of God's got a special day coming. There's an end time harvest. Everybody's going to get rich. Everybody, only the people now who set aside money into our ministry are going to get this financial blessing in the last day. That is what they say. That's Perry Stone. I made a list here so I can keep track. Perry Stone, Odin. Here we go. Let's see here. Where is it? I mentioned last Thursday the guy that runs Natural News, Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. The Health Ranger, Mike Adams of naturalnews.com. Now, he does have some fairly interesting articles on here every now and then. You know that I am not the Health Ranger. By the way, can I chase another rabbit here? I have here's something you've all been waiting for. Okay, are you ready? This is the Chia Obama, as it is today. The Chia Obama. Ready? Drum roll, please. Here's the Chia Obama. That doesn't look very healthy, does it? Okay. Now, as you can see, it looks and it appears that Gary has set up a little shrine on the DVD production table of the Chia Obama. And I guess he believes that the Chia Obama is blessing all of the DVDs now that go out of our ministry. Maybe I need to pull him aside and have a talk with him about that. Anyway, back to Health Ranger. Health Ranger Mike Adams. Natural News exclusive. Michigan government unleashes armed raids on small pig farmers, forces farmer to shoot all of his own pigs. Natural News can now confirm that the Michigan Department of Natural Resources has, in total violation of the Fourth Amendment, conducted two armed raids on pig farmers in that state. Let's see here. They're staging raids involving six vehicles, 10 armed men. The Department of Natural Resources conducted unconstitutional, illegal, and arguably criminal armed raids on these two farms with the intent of shooting all the farmers' pigs under a bizarre new, quote-unquote, invasive species order that has suddenly declared traditional livestock to be an invasive species. The ISO also deems farmers who raise these pigs to be felons, and Department of Natural Resources officials were ready to make arrests on the scene and haul away those farmers to be prosecuted as hardened criminals. I think this is an unconstitutional order. These actions of the DNR are out of bounds, attorney Joseph O'Leary told Natural News in an interview today. He is representing one of the farmers who was targeted in these raids. Quote, to take what was 6 months ago an entirely legal activity and suddenly people are felons over it. They're not growing drugs, running guns, or killing anybody. They're raising animals pursuant to USDA regulations, state of Michigan regulations. They haven't done anything wrong here. And the Department of Natural Resources is treating them like they're hardened criminals. Well, you can kind of see this coming. You know, when I was down in Arkansas, man, I love those people down there. There was a pastor that spoke right before me, Pastor Charlie Jameson, whom I love. I love this man. He's a very, very wise man. He's a very, very meek man. One of the cleanest men that I know of. He's got a wife, and they're raising a child down there with special needs, running a camp, pastoring a church. And they live in an area of Arkansas that is hard to get to. And he says there's people moving in down here from the cities. And you ask them, why are they coming down here? And he said, and they tell you, we're just getting away from the city, and we're going to get out here in a place where we can grow our own food, and we can raise our own food, and have our own food, and everything can be ours. We won't have to buy it. And when everything goes bad, we'll have it. We'll have all our own food. And he preached against that by saying, look, number one, if you try it, if you think that you're out in the middle of nowhere growing your own food and the government don't know it, just look up, because you can't see the satellite that sees you. They'll know. They'll fly a drone over. They'll know. You plant a garden, they'll know. And during martial law, you and I both know that the presidential decision directives that will be enacted during that time will basically confiscate everything that you have, including all your pigs and your carrots and your vegetable garden, everything that you have for national security. So it won't work. So you know what? When things get bad, you'll just have to turn to God. That's going to be your only way out. Now, here's something interesting on this article, because I scanned down the article. And now, remember, last week we talked about Mike Adams, the health ranger. Dun, 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 dun. The health ranger is a newager. You go read his articles. You go look at it. He talked about in this article last week that he believes there's aliens out there, and they're going to come, and they're going to come teach us that he is a newager, is what he is. He endorses and espouses New Age techniques, and on and on and on and on. Okay? Now, I scroll down the article, and I see something. And this is what I see. I'm going to show you what I saw. Here is Mike Adams, the health ranger. Dun, 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 dun. And where is he? Why, he's sitting in Alex Jones' chair. Now, he either shot and killed Alex Jones or tied him up in the corner and gagged him, or he was invited to sit in Alex Jones' chair. Now, when I first got into this Watchman ministry, there was a few things that Alex Jones put out, a couple of articles that I would look at every now and then. And, they had some interesting things. It became apparent to me that though Alex Jones likes to refer to himself as a Christian, I don't know. One of the things that set me off was, and now correct me if I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, you correct me. Who out there has seen the Bohemian Grove video that Alex Jones did? Now, I got to admit, take some guts to sneak a camera into this place where they don't want anybody in there. Take some guts. I get that. From what I got, and correct me if I'm wrong, from what I got was, here was Alex Jones going traveling around with his girlfriend, staying in a hotel room, and they weren't married, but he calls himself a Christian. It just doesn't sound right to me. And then I think a couple years ago, Alex Jones had David Icke on his program. David Icke is a New Ager. David Icke is funny. David Icke is going around telling everybody that most of the people in politics are all reptilians, and there's a reptilian agenda. David Icke doesn't realize that part of the reptilian agenda is to bring everybody into the New Age, which he espouses. And then here is, let me pull it up again so you just get a good look. Here is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, doing the Alex Jones show. Okay? I think they're in cahoots together. I don't think that's right. I don't care what your message is. I don't care who agrees with you. If they're not following the scriptures, we don't get along with them very well. Anyway, that's the pig story. Well, I'm moving right along today. And then we have, let's see here. Who sent me this? Somebody did. Oh, several people did. And the people that sent it to me said that they won't be watching today. And I said, well, too bad for you. Ha, 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 ha. Here is, you remember Tupac Shakur. He's dead. Does anybody, I'm just asking here because I don't know. Does anybody know how long ago he died? Anybody there on Skype know how long ago he died? Well, here's the interesting thing. Here is an article. He is a rapper, by the way. A rap star. Nasty guy. I mean nasty guy. Now, he's dead. Been dead. Okay? I think he got shot. Here's the article. Tupac Shakur's ghost rapped at Coachella this weekend. I don't know what that is. But anyway, this is for real. 15 years ago, he died a young man. But last night, a hologram of Tupac rapped on the stage with Snoop Dogg. That's another rapper. There he is with every last tattoo, necklace swinging, and all the mic pointing moves. Did I mention he was glowing and not just in the back from the spa way either? More just from back from the other side way. And so anyway, here's what happened. Let's see here. Snoop Dogg and who else was in on this? Somebody else. Did a concert and they performed with a hologram of a dead guy. Okay? Now, what in the world, and where's my mind going with this? Can of King James here. Okay? And I don't think that the image of the beast is going to be a hologram. I don't think that. But I will tell you what spirit drives something. I want you to think about this. Here's a guy that was murdered, and now he's brought back from the dead as if he's alive in a sort of a ghost fashion, and everybody's seeing him now. Okay? Think about it. So we have in Revelation chapter 13, we have a beast with seven heads and ten horns. And in verse 3 it says, "And I saw one of the heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast." And then verse 14, we have the false prophet who deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And so in this little stunt, this little technology, and you understand what it is. They took Tupac Shakur's image, they fed it into a computer, they made a computer animation, which, by the way, this computer animation stuff is getting, it's getting very lifelike and very real, made a computer animation of Tupac Shakur and made him dance and sing, and he's performing on stage with these two other guys, okay? I get it. The spirit of the death and the resurrection of, let's say, Odin, because that's what happened to Odin, or the Antichrist, the beast, being dead. He was wounded in the head. He's slain. Now he's come back to life. That's what this Tupac image thing is all about. Now, I have something else today. I have, and I probably won't have time to do it. I'm going to go to your emails here in a minute. But I want you to, somebody sent me this, and they said, Pastor Mike, does it look like T.D. Jakes is making like an as above, so below gesture? Well, it could be. Could be. Or, he's practicing his Jedi skills by making his jacket fly up into his hand. Maybe he's doing that. I don't know. But anyway, I have a video of the bishop, T.D. Jakes, and I don't have time to... the end of my nose itches today. You know what I was always told? That means somebody's coming. Somebody's on their way. Okay? But anyway, I have a video of T.D. Jakes that, to me, is just weird. And I'll probably show that. I will reserve that on Thursday. The email address to get in touch with me in the next 15 minutes is PastorMikeOnline@gmail.com. And let me go back. I had saved back, oh my goodness. Hi, everybody in email land. I had saved back a couple of emails. Let's see here. This, somebody wrote in. This is from Rachel. This was sent in yesterday on Monday. It says, hi, Pastor Mike. You mentioned a verse of the Bible, Romans 11:25, on the online video, 3:13-12, that the Jews' eyes will not be open until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. You said that is when we, Christians, are gone from this place. You also said in another video about the rapture that a person will not be able to be saved after Christ takes his bride. So what does that mean for the Jews? They will not have the opportunity to be saved after Christ's return. Now, let me explain it like this. And since you mentioned Romans 11:25, let me read that, because I think that answers your question better than what I can do. Romans 11:20. The whole Bible is all about the reawakening or the resurrection of dead Israel. The veil that's on Moses' face. Paul says that they read the Old Testament, there's a veil there. They can't see past the veil. But then Paul said the veil's going to be lifted, and they're going to be able to see who that is. It's really Jesus. And so Romans 11:25, the Bible says, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until when? Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so, Rachel, here's what I think is going to happen. It's very simple. Elijah takes off, and there's Elisha, okay? You have that imagery there. You have Israel, who only reads the Old Testament. They're partially blinded. The Gentiles now have the mysteries revealed to us because we have the Old and New Testament. One of these days, God's going to be done with the Gentiles, and he's going to translate his church out. This is what I see according to Scripture. And then he's going to restore. He's going to give salvation. Both of their eyes are going to be opened, and because they're going to see the New Testament. They're going to see the teachings now. The mystery is going to be revealed to them, and they're going to know who the Messiah is, and God is going to restore them, and they will be saved. A remnant, the Bible says, will be saved during that time. So appreciate that. Let's see here. Let's go to Barbara, who writes in today and says, Pastor Mike, did you know... Let's see here. Did you know Stevenson University gets rare first edition King James Bible? No, I didn't know that. I'll have to look at that later. Let's see here. Cameron. Good question, Cameron. Revelation chapter 10, Cameron says, in Revelation 10:7, it says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants the prophets. He asks a question, or she, or he. Cameron's a guy. What is the mystery of God? Could you explain to me, please? Cameron, let me get you to do this, okay? Look up every place in the Bible where the word mystery or mysteries is found. It's not hard. There's only 27 occurrences, and they're all in the New Testament. I'm actually, Cameron, if you don't want to do that, I'm actually teaching this during Sunday school for the past two Sundays, and we'll continue on this Sunday on the mystery of God and what it is. It's a beautiful study. I love doing this study, and the Bible will explain to you what that mystery is. And it's not hard to find out. You just look at the word mystery, and it says, "Behold, I show you a mystery." Here it is. He's going to show you what the mystery is. All right. John, old John, who came to us from Holland a few weeks ago. "Hi, Mike, you don't only tease the Canadians, but the Dutch, too. Try to say Wollensdag. Good luck. Love you, John." And I guarantee you, Ricky and Noor and John and all of you, Adrian, I guarantee you I did not say Wollensdag the way you guys say it. I guarantee you. There's something that they do with their throat that I don't know. It's just anyway, good to hear from you, John. Let's see here. Maurice sends me the 3D rendering of Deceit rap of Tupac. We dealt with that already. Joseph says there is a prophecy called the Prophecy of the Popes, which says that the next pope will be the last one ushering in the Antichrist. Got to wipe that out of my eye. "Have you heard of this, Pastor Mike?" Yes. Peter the Roman, a.k.a. Petrus Romanus, was supposedly named as the last pope. Now, I've answered this before, and I'm just going to give you my humble opinion. I did not see anywhere in the King James Bible a prophecy concerning Petrus Romanus. Somebody named St. Malachy made this prophecy. It's sort of like... Nostradamus and all these other people, and the people that study Nostradamus, it seems like they jam meanings into this stuff. And I don't buy it. It's like the Mayan calendar. I think they just ran out of rock, is what I think. I mean, I don't know, but I don't trust non-biblical prophecies. I don't follow them. I don't promote them. I don't say, "Hey, everybody, you need to look at this. This guy, this Roman Catholic, wrote a blah blah blah." I don't do that. I don't trust it. Okay, I don't trust what other people say about prophecies. And so I'm gonna gently and strongly encourage you: don't waste a lot of time with this. Troy writes in, "Pastor Mike, I came across an article that talked about the Temple of Understanding that attempts to, I know this, that attempts to bring all religions together and has ties to the United Nations. Seems like an attempt to create a one world religion. Have you ever covered this in any of your Watchmen videos?" I actually have a booklet I bought, man, I don't know how long ago. I still have it somewhere in a pile that dealt with the Temple of Understanding. Now, I don't know. Troy, maybe you can help me out. I don't know that the thing was ever built. I know it was planned on being built, but I don't know that it was ever built. But you're right in that it's like what I said in the missing piece. It's all about bringing everybody and hooking everybody, connecting everybody and all the religions back together again so Humpty Dumpty can sit on the wall again. By the way, Humpty Dumpty is the Antichrist. He's the egg. Get it? Get it? Humpty Dumpty's the egg. Tim, Pastor Mike, please mention the Bilderbergers attack on the internet through CISPA, worse than SOPA. I have not studied that very much, although there was an article that came out on Drudge Report yesterday. I didn't get a chance to look at it because, man, I'm going to tell you what, when I walked in the office yesterday, I hit the books. And I started working on this script for the Watchmen broadcast, and I saw the article there that the head of Google, the former head of Google, or something like that, is basically saying it's already a done deal that they're going to start censoring the internet. Yeah? Well, now let's be fair. There are things on the internet that need to be censored. The problem is, I don't think that they're going to censor what needs to be censored. I think they're going to censor. I think it's going to censor free speech somehow, some way. That's what I think. We know that's going to be. It's a fear that we have. It's going to be worked on. Now, let me tell you about Mike Hoggard. Mike Hoggard is using. I'm using the internet right now. Okay, everything that we do uses the internet. Okay, everything that we do here involves the internet. If the internet goes down, I'm still going to be preaching, still going to be talking, You're still going to be proclaiming. I don't know how. I'd probably just do it the way Paul did. Okay, go out to the fruit market and stand there. As everybody comes in, let me tell you about Jesus. Okay? And so it will come one of these days, but I guarantee you the gospel cannot be shut up. Can I get an amen out of somebody? The gospel cannot be shut up. Lori, my Jewish friend. Hiya, pastor. So, you know, enjoy your teachings because you're real, honest, easy to relate to, and have no problem admitting when and where you went astray and how you applied God's word to your life to help you get back into his will. And, that, and listen, that's what I want to do. I want you to know that I'm just as frail, flawed, dumb. I was going to say as everybody else, but maybe I'm not as dumb as you. Maybe I'm dumber. But I want to show through my life, my testimony, everything that you're right, Lori. It's the Bible. It gets us back on track. She says there are enough personalities, hucksters on TV to make us all cringe. I know I can call you church and discuss a biblical topic. And for that, we all your students. Thank you, Lori. Lori, I appreciate that. And I try to answer emails. I try to help people. When you call, sometimes I have been in this room all day long. Just trying to get away from everything, to concentrate on the study and not have... and once I get the watchman done, then it kind of eases up and I can take a few phone calls or whatever. That's just what I like to do. I'm here for you. Elena! She says, hey, Hoser! That is from the Great White North, Bob and Doug McKenzie. She says, Job 1:6 explains exactly what the sons of God are. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. That's and Elena, that's exactly what I tried to get across to this guy on Facebook was, look, it says right here in the Bible who they are. The Bible identifies them. And some woman piped in and said, everybody knows that the Bible clearly says that the sons of God are the godly men of Seth. And the daughters of men were the pagan women that they married. It says, and she said, the Bible clearly says that. And I went, oh, no, it doesn't. It doesn't say that. I just want to pull my hair out. And when I asked her to quote the scripture, all I got was a change of discussion, to change the argument, to draw people away. And so it's in the Bible, people. It's in the Bible. And you, listen, you just will be amazed at what's in this Bible concerning the giants. Okay? It's stunning. You'll see it. Adam says, in my local newspaper, there was a brief announcement about a luncheon taking place called Connecting with Your Angels. If this isn't Daniel 2:43, then I don't know what it is. Adam, you are stinking right. Exactly right. Michelle writes in and says, Dear Perry Stone, I have a special teaching for you that you need to hear. Signed, God. Love you, Michelle. Deborah, how you doing, sis? Let's see here. What do you think of financial planning classes offered at most church by small DVDs, etc.? Let me tell you what my experience is. The Free Will Baptist had a magazine for years called Contact Magazine, and it featured mostly just articles from Free Will Baptist pastors, you know, things of doctrine and so on. And it, years ago when I was growing up, it was a good magazine. Now they've changed it over to the One Magazine, and every issue that I still get, and there's these little incremental teachings about contemplative prayer and doing spiritual exercises and all this stuff. But about every third page in the official magazine for Free Will Baptist, about every third page is an advertisement on how you need to manage your money. And what this is all about is it's about the denomination getting a hold of your will. It's about the denomination getting a hold of your funds and your money so that they can spend it. I can't say this, Deborah, about every one of them, but when I see a church or some ministry or something like that wanting to put on a financial planning class, okay, my suspicion is that more than likely the church that's hosting this got the program from some company that promised them that if they'll put this on, that they'll be able to increase their tithing. Okay? That's what I think. Now, I have actually thought about, and I have done this before, back when the economy first started stinking real bad, I did sort of a thing on how Christians should spend money. It had very, very, very little. I don't remember if I even said anything about tithing at all. What I did was I just went to the scripture and said, you ought not waste your money, you shouldn't gamble, quit being so covetous. You don't need everything that your eyes are set on. It was dealing with stuff, and I may do that again. But I promise you, in fact, now that I've said this, if I do this again, I will probably not mention tithing or giving me all your money, not one time. TG says, this is a Temple of Understanding update. Pastor Mike, just follow up. The temple was never built, but they coexist inside the St. John the Divine Cathedral in New York City, and you can find videos of pagan ceremonies performed on the internet. Thank you, TG, for that. So, Deborah, I hope that answers your question. I know for a fact, because I get stuff in the mail all the time from these companies that say they advertise, how would you like to boost your donations? You know, increase them by 50%, 100%. That's lust. That's lust is what it is. Covetousness. It's trying to get pastors into this thing of covetousness that pastors are thinking, well, we need more money. If we had more money, I could get a raise. We could do this and do that. If we had all this money. And I know for a fact that there are programs out there that churches can buy from companies that are specifically designed under the guise of helping people with finances, under that guise to get them to put money into the church's bank account. That's my opinion of it. Maybe not all, but that's one of them. Julie, hi, Mike. I've been following you. Oh, you meant like watching the video. I thought you were like following me behind me. Been following you at some of your broadcasts for a few months, and I'm so thankful for you, your discernment, ministry in these dark days. Do you happen to know anything about the Sovereign Grace Ministries Church? It doesn't sound familiar. We've been attending a church that merged with this umbrella of churches, but are beginning to have a check in our spirit. I can tell you something right now, before I even read the rest of this. If this is about merging under an umbrella, okay, that's exactly the point I was making with the Watchman video called The Missing Piece. It's not good in their eyes for you to be an independent church. You have to be under an umbrella of some kind. You have to be under us. God did not design the church that way. He designed the local congregation to be autonomous, which means by themselves, with a bishop over them, and we have apostles over us. Who are they? Peter, John, James, Paul. They're all here. Okay? The bishop is to be under the authority of the apostles and the prophets in the scriptures, which are the voice of God himself. So let me keep reading. She says, but we're beginning to have a check in our spirit, concerns about some things that we're seeing. I'd be curious to hear what you know about this. I've not heard of this denomination, but I can tell you that, by and large, putting yourself, I think it's time not to join up. I think it's time to step out. That's what I think. And that's what we did here at Bethel, formerly Free Will Baptist Church. We're just Bethel Church. Okay, now the conference I went to, Harrison, Free Will Baptist. Why? Those are my friends down there. Those are pastors that I know love the Lord. They love the King James Bible. I tell you what, their lifestyle, just I adore how a lot of those guys live. They're not legalists. They're just trying to follow the Bible. And but we are not in anybody's umbrella. Okay, Adam. Adam says, when reading about the Iron Kingdom mixed with Clay and Daniel 2, it becomes obvious with the verse 43 that this cannot be talking about the Roman Empire. Good for you. False Bible versions really mess this verse up completely. Because many of their hellbound translators don't believe sons of God can be angels. It'll make sense if you'll just take that approach with it. Thank you, Adam. Brian. Aw, Brian. My music started. Oh, well. If it's important enough to say today, it's important enough to say Thursday. All right? I will be back with you on Thursday, barring anything unfortunate happening or the translation. And good to be with you today. It is good to be back. Appreciate your prayers. Keep praying for our ministry. Keep praying for our work here and our labor for the Lord. The devil hates our guts. And I have a lot of guts for him to hate. This is Pastor Mike. I love you. And Brian, I will get to you hopefully next Thursday. God bless you. Pastor Mike online Thursday. Bible study coming out tomorrow. Watching the video broadcast. Part one of The Giant. You won't want to miss it. All right? Love you. Bye.
Beware of the blob. It creeps and leaps and glides and slides across the floor, right through the door and all around the wall. A splotch, a blotch. Be careful of the blob.